amen. I tell you what, if you can sit there and that not stir you, and that not move you, you need to check up on yourself, amen. If you can sit there and be thinking of anything else while she was singing that, if your mind was on anything else, there's something wrong in your heart today, amen. Something not right today. And you need to be thinking, why am I not paying attention? Why am I not listening to what the Lord is trying to say to me? And I pray that you'll listen to me this morning. I don't want you playing in your pews. If you got any toys in your pews, put those toys down, amen. I don't want you playing in your pews, amen. I want you to listen this morning to Thus Saith the Lord. I believe God's got a message for you today. And I believe there's something very powerful here today, amen. With your Bibles open to Psalm 139, and verse 1, I want to read verse 1 down through verse 24. I want to speak to you on the thought of search me, O God. Search me, O God. Bible says in Psalm 139, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You need to mark verse 15. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did not see my substance, yet being imperfect, and Thy book, all the members were written, which were in continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And I want you to mark verse 23 and verse 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, there was a movie that came out several years ago called The Truman Show. I don't know if anybody saw that movie or not. Maybe some of you older folks may have saw that movie. But Truman Burbank believes his life is no different than anybody else in that show until he begins to notice that particular things begin to happen, like instances that repeat itself every day. There were some things that just kept repeating itself on a daily basis. And then he gets suspicious that something strange is going on in his life. Now, what he doesn't realize is that every second of his life from the day he was born has been telecast to the entire planet. You see, he's the star of the show called The Truman Show, the most popular television show in the world, which broadcasts every aspect of his life around the clock. As a matter of fact, from the moment he wakes up until the moment he goes to bed at night, the world eavesdrops on Truman's life through the aid of 5,000 hidden cameras. 5,000 hidden cameras are watching Truman's life every day. I mean, everything this man does is being watched. Think about that. Finally, Truman comes to a life-changing realization that an unseen audience is watching his every move. Do you realize this morning, and I want you to hear me today, do you realize this morning that an unseen audience right now is watching your life too? More eyes are fixed on you right now than you realize. You might be sitting there and you might be thinking, Brother Tim, I'm living a life of ease. And, you know, I feel like I'm a being of that's unobscure and unobserved. Nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody's paying attention to what I'm doing. But just remember that the Bible says a cloud of witnesses hold you in full view this very moment. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That means that wherever you are, at every instant of your life, there are beings whose attention is riveted on your doings, whose gaze is constantly fixed on your actions. Matter of fact, take your Bible. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a verse right here that has always fascinated me. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, it reminds us that there are angels right now in heaven that watch the lives of Christians in order to understand the gospel of Christ. Do you realize this morning, if you were truly saved by the grace of God, if you've been born again by the grace of God, if you say, Brother Jeff, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, the Bible tells me that there are angels in heaven that are watching our life. They want to see what's so special about who we are. Notice what it says in 1 Peter 1:12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The Bible says the angels in heaven desire to look into your salvation. The moment you got saved, that was something they've never seen before within themselves. You see, angels can't get saved. Angels can't get born again. You know, Jesus didn't die for the angels. Jesus died for you and me. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 13, verse 2, it reveals that some have entertained angels unaware. You realize that sometimes, and I do believe this, and I believe I've seen one or two myself in my lifetime already, that sometimes that I believe there are angels that come down from heaven. And I believe there are angels that walk around in the form of men. I don't believe scripturally the Bible says angels are not women. I know there are some TV shows that tell you that angels are women, but scripturally the Bible tells us that all the angels are men. They're all masculine in gender. I do believe, according to scripture, I believe that angels have come down from heaven. And I believe that we have seen angels unaware. We were unaware of the fact that was an angel. And I've seen some people that I go back now and I look in my mind, I think about my mind, and I wonder, was that an angel? I was traveling down the interstate here several years ago, and I was going somewhere down the interstate, and I was, you know, minding my business, having myself a good time. I was listening to the radio. I think songs were being played on the radio, gospel music being played on the radio. And there was a guy that pulled up beside me, and I was in the right lane. He pulls up beside me in the left lane, and he's pointing to my car. I said, I'm thinking, what in the world is he saying? And I finally realized he's pointing to my back tire. And what he's trying to tell me, I let my window down, he lets his window down, we sit there going down the interstate, and we're talking through the window, and he's telling me that my tire's about to blow out. And I sit there and I tell him, you know, thanks a lot, so I pull off the side of the road, and he pulls off up right in front of me, and he just parks up in front of me, don't get out of the car or anything, he parks up in front of me, and I sit there, and I see him, he's right in front of me, and I'm sitting here on the interstate, and I'm about 100 feet behind him. And I get out of the car, and I look there at the tire, and I look back at him, and I wave at him, and I thank him for, you know, for being there. And I look back down the tire again, and I see the situation, and I go to walk back up to my door right there, and I mean, it hadn't been but just a few moments, and I look back up, and there's no car. And I'm sitting there thinking, I know, and the car wasn't running. He had already turned his car off. The car wasn't running. I'm sitting there thinking, this is strange. And I've always thought back in that moment, think, Lord, was that an angel unaware? Did you send that angel to me to protect me on the interstate? That's before my children were born. But I thought, that's strange. That's a little bit different. And it kind of, I'll just be honest with you, it kind of freaked me out, amen. I'm sitting there thinking, this is something a little bit weird. No doubt, within this auditorium right now, I believe with all my heart, there are multitudes of spirits unseen to us right now sitting in this room, both good and both evil, and they are watching right now our every movement. Those angelic spirits, they're watching our behavior right now in this service. They hear our songs we sing. They observe our prayers. Bible even says they rejoice in heaven with their companions in the news of a sinner accepting Christ as Savior. Turn over to Luke chapter 15 real quick. In Luke 15, do you realize the Bible says that angels, when they hear about people getting saved, the Bible says there's rejoicing going on in heaven when a person gets saved. Bible says in Luke 15 and verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When somebody trusts Christ as personal Savior, the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. I believe the angels also are rejoicing. I believe they're rejoicing because they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. They're trying to figure out what's taking place in the lives of those people, amen. But as well, I believe there are demonic forces at work right now in this room that's diverting your attention. That's trying their best. I believe there are demons out of hell that are trying their best right now to keep you to think about everything else in the world. They're placing bitterness in your heart. They're trying to cause you to find fault with this message. The evil spirits, the devils, they watch our lives every instant. But not only do the angels of God watch us, whether they be good or fallen angels, but Hebrews 12:23 also says the spirits of just men made perfect. In other words, our loved ones in heaven, they continually observe our lives. I believe my father looks down many times. My father went to heaven back in 1995. And I believe my father, without a doubt, based on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and also verse 23, I believe my father looks down from heaven and watches my life. I believe my grandparents look down from heaven and watch our life, amen, watch my life. If you've got a loved one, if you've got a mom or dad or a husband or wife or brother or sister, whatever it might be, if they've already died and if they went to heaven, I believe you've got family that God allows them, not all the time, but I believe God allows them at certain times to look down upon our lives and see the lives that we're living. Matter of fact, Paul teaches that the noble army of martyrs and the glorious company of believers in Hebrews 12:1, he says, are witnesses of our race to heaven. They observe how well we hold up the banner around which they fought, amen. They look upon our valor and they watch our cowardice. They witness our righteous deeds or they see our retreat in the day of battle. Just remember, you do not pass through this world unseen. People watch your life. And in the darkest shades of night, there are eyes that are glaring on your life. But if the thought of angels, if the thought of glorified beings watching you, if you think that's amazing or maybe you think that's a little eerie, then think about the fact that God sees everything you do. God sees everything you, He hears everything you say. He sees everything you think. Matter of fact, notice right here again in our main text in Psalm 139. If you'll notice right here in verse 2 down through verse 4 of our main text right here, it tells us that God sees everything. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, God sees everything we do. He says, Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. You know, folks, you stop and think about it. It's nothing that angels see me. It's nothing that the devils watch me. It's nothing that glorified beings, my loved ones in heaven, observe me compared to the overwhelming truth that God sees me at all times. Think about that for a moment. God watches you every moment of your life. Whether good or bad, God sees it all. So the question is this morning, what does God see in your life? What does He hear in your words? What does He see and hear in your thoughts? David right here knew in these verses that there is no escape from the sight of God. Matter of fact, he cried out to God to search him, to tell him what was wicked in his life. You see, the truth is this morning, God knows everything there is to know about you. It doesn't matter what the preacher knows. It doesn't matter what the family knows. It doesn't matter what mom or daddy knows. God sees it all. God knows what you're thinking about right now. God knows everything you've done today. Consider the fact, first of all, that God searches invisibly. Notice here in verse 7 down through verse 13, the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 7 through 13, that God sees everything. You know, it's hard to imagine to me a God who cannot see His own creatures. It's hard to imagine a God who cannot behold the actions of the works of His own hand. God Almighty, from His very essence, from His very nature, He must be an omniscient God, an all-knowing God. I mean, think about it for a moment. If you strike out the thought that He sees me, then you extinguish deity with a single stroke. If God can't see me, that's not much of a God. If God can't know what I'm doing, what kind of God would that be? There'd be no God if that God had no eyes, for a blind God is no God at all. Even the heathen in idolatry, they cannot conceive of God who has no eyes to see. You know, they'll sit there and they'll make their God. They'll make their piece of stone, their false or the image, so to say. And they always put eyes on that God. They always put a nose and ears on that God. Even they have given their eyes to a false God because they say that, you know, I've got to have a God, even though it might be a false God, even though it might not be a right God. They say, I've got to have a God that can see me. You know, there's not a particle of the mighty space that's not known and seen by God Almighty. I've gone back, I've researched some things. I found out without a telescope, you can only see about 3,000 stars from any point on Earth. If you were to go out at nighttime, if it's a clear sky, they tell me you can see about 3,000 stars from any point on Earth. As a matter of fact, scientists, they have estimated the universe consists, I want you to hear this, they say the universe consists of 70 sextillion stars. 70 sextillion, that's 7,000 million, million, million. That's 7 followed by 22 zeros. Think about that. 7 with 22 zeros, or 10 times the number of grains of sand on the earth. Psalm 147 verse 4 tells us that God counts the numbers of the stars, and it gives all the stars a name. Think about that. God has already named 70 sextillion stars, amen. He knows them all by name. In every portion of this earth where I walk, the very spot on which I move, God is there. God is not being confined to one place, but He is everywhere. In the deepest minds man has ever bored, in the caverns of the oceans, in the heights no one has ever reached, yet God is there. Where the song of an angel has never broken the silence, God is there. Now, think about it. If God is everywhere, how can I refrain? How can I stop from believing that God sees me wherever I am? He's beside you. He's before you. He's behind you. He's all around you. There is no escape from the presence and all-seeing eye of a holy God. So knowing that and thinking about that, what does God see in your life right now? Is it righteous? Is it holy? Does it bring shame? Does it bring disgrace? Now, since God is everywhere, and since God sees everything, does it not hit you that He sees us and knows all of our actions? He knows all of our thoughts. He knows all of our deeds. Can you say as David then, knowing that God sees everything you do, can you say as David, search me, O God. Lord, I want you to show me where I'm wrong. But also consider God searches individually. Number two, God searches individually. Notice right here in Psalm 139, verse 14 down to verse 16. Now, if you need verses in your Bible to prove to you that abortion is sin, these are your verses right here. These verses tell us that God knew us before we was ever even known to this world. Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, my body, was not hid from thee, even though mama couldn't see you, and even though daddy couldn't see you, even though when you were still in your mother's stomach. Bible says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, my body, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, notice this, in thy book, in the book of God, all my members, all the members of your body, were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That means before you were ever birthed into this world, yea, as soon as you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you personally, amen. God identified the members of your body. He saw the heart. He saw the toes. He saw the eyes. He saw every member of your body before you was ever even formed, amen. That's why abortion is so wicked. That's why abortion is so despised for the Lord. Abortion in any form is murder and sin before God Himself. And those 56 million babies that have been aborted in the last 40 years right here in America, God knows them all by name. God has a name. By the way, I believe every one of them is in heaven. Amen. And as I preach this message, You know, there's somewhat of a disadvantage right here this morning preaching to a crowd of people because, you know, some people are apt to think, well, you know, Brother Tim is not preaching to me. He's not preaching to me whatsoever. And there are some right here, you're hearing this sermon this morning, and you're hearing it for your neighbors. You're hearing it for your friends. You're sitting there thinking, boy, you know, I know this person, they sure would need to hear this. And I know my family member, my friends, they sure would need to hear this. Just remember something. Now God sees you right now and no one else. God sees you as much if there were nobody else in this world for Him to look at. Amen. If there was nobody else in this world for Him to look at, God would see you. You know, I think about that with this crowd this morning. My attention many times, it must be divided. Sometimes I look over here and sometimes I look over here on my left side and my attention is divided. But hear me this morning. The infinite mind of God is able to grasp millions of objects at once and yet focus as much on one as if there's nothing else but that one. In other words, right now, you were looked upon by God as if there was no other creature upon the face of this earth. Can you really conceive that in your mind? When God looks down on this congregation this morning, when God looks within this church, right now He is looking at you as if there's nobody else in the world. Just suppose the stars were all blotted out. Suppose the angels were dead. Suppose all the glorified beings, all the people going on before us in heaven, maybe they were all gone and they had all been left. And the last person alive was you, and God was looking only at you. You see, the truth is, that's exactly what's happening right now as you sit here. God sees you as if you are the only being He's ever made. Can you grasp what I'm saying? His eyes are looking down upon you every moment, this very moment. One night, there was a house that caught on fire. There was a little boy that was stranded on the second floor of that house. And all the boy could see was smoke and flames. He couldn't see out the window. There was so much smoke and flames there. But he could hear his father's voice outside. And his father kept telling him, jump, jump, jump out that window. And the boy cried back, Daddy, I can't see you. And the daddy said, that's okay, son. I can see you, and that's all that matters. Folks, we might not be able to see God this morning, but God sees us. And that's all that matters. You say, but Tim, I don't know where God is in my life. I don't know how to get a hold of God. It doesn't matter what you think. God sees you. And that's all that matters. The Lord just doesn't see your actions. He just doesn't see your attitude and your appearance. But He sees what you're thinking. God right now sees right through you. He knows every thought. He knows the imaginations, whether it's formed or unformed right now in your mind. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, God is examining you right now. It's like God's taking a big x-ray of your body. And God is examining everything going on right now in your body. But notice with me also, God searches intentions. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews 4. In Hebrews 4, I want to read to you verse 12 and verse 13. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice what it says in verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You see, when men watch you in public, your speech is good. Your speech is correct. A lot of times we make sure we don't cuss in front of anybody. Oh, we'll cuss when we get at home, and we'll cuss when we get around other people, but, you know, there are some times we sit there and we say, well, I'm not going to cuss in front of this person. You hear me this morning, when you're alone and when you indulge in things you would not do before other people, just remember God sees you. At all times, in all places, and all your thoughts, and all your acts, and all your privacy, and all your public doings, and every season of life, God sees you. Woodrow Wilson, president back in the early 1900s, his father was a preacher in the South many years ago. One day, his father joined a group of men that were caught. They were caught up in a heated discussion. I mean, they were fussing. They was arguing one among another. And it got real hot and it got heated. They was mad at each other. And one of the men, he lost his temper and he swore out loud. He cussed out loud. And only then, after he said that cuss word, he looked over and he saw the Reverend Wilson there in the midst of him. He realized, the preacher's here with me. And the man apologized profusely. And he said, "Sir, I'd forgotten that you were present. Please pardon me." And Dr. Wilson replied, he said, "It's not me that you owe an apology, but to God." You see, I might sit there and say, well, you know, as long as I don't sit in front of the preacher, as long as I don't sit in front of my teacher, as long as I don't sit in front of mom and daddy or anybody else, I'll be okay. I got news for you. God sees you, amen. God hears everything you do. He knows every deed that you commit. I can see myself, and man can see me as well, but man cannot see me as God sees me. God knows you more fully this morning than you know yourself. Nobody sees you as God sees you. That means that not your mother or father, not your husband or wife, not a family member or friend, no one sees you as God sees you. And you may have all your deeds recorded by man. And you may have all the men may hear of them, and they might think, well, that's a great thing they did. Boy, they did some good works, and they did some good deeds. But men will never know you as God knows you. Fact is, God knows right now whether you're truly saved or not. He knows right now if your name's been truly written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or you may fool the preacher. You may fool your spouse. You may fool your family. You may fool your friends. But you hear me well this morning when I say you will not fool the Holy God. God knows if you're truly saved. Now, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I beg of you this morning to make Him Lord of your life. You say, "But Tim, what must I do to be saved?" Realize that you're a dirty, rotten sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Have you ever realized that you are a sinner in the sight of God? Realize you're a sinner, but then realize that Jesus paid that sin debt for you. Has it ever dawned upon you that Jesus died and went to hell? The reason why He was on that cross was because of your sins. Jesus died and went to a burning hell for your sins. He paid that sin debt. Realize that He paid that sin debt, but then the Bible says to call upon and repent of your sins. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe that Jesus went to hell for you? Do you believe that Jesus arose from that grave the third day to be victorious over your sins? If so, that's what it takes to be saved by the grace of God. Have you repented and said, "Lord, I'm sorry that I'm a dirty, rotten, old sinner. Lord, I ask You to forgive me my sins. Wash me by the blood of Christ. Come to my heart and save me." That's what it takes. And then the Bible says that if you're truly saved by the grace of God, you'll tell people about it. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," and you won't be ashamed of it. You'll testify about it. You go out and tell people that you've been saved by the grace of God. Have you ever done that? If not, today's the day of salvation. You know, it's been said that when anyone heard a man by the name of Roland Hill preach, he always had the conviction that Hill was preaching directly at him. Roland Hill had a way that when he preached, you thought he was preaching right at you. If I can make you feel this morning that I was preaching at you in particular, if I can make you feel that I singled you out and I shot every word at you, then I hope that would have some effect in your life. Even as my eye looks upon you right now, yet in a far greater sense, God's eye is resting upon you as well. If my sermons put a finger directly on you, and if it seemed like Brother Tim was pointing his finger right at me because he knows certain sin in my life, which I don't know any sin in your life, but if you think that I'm pointing a finger at you directly, then how much more is God pointing His finger at you this morning? God sees your heart, and God knows your intentions. And there are some of you right now that are sitting here in this room right now. You know your life is ungodly. And you know that it's not what it needs to be for Christ. And you know, maybe you're sitting here and you know you're not saved. You know right now. You know if you were to die, you know without a doubt you'd die and go to hell. Remember, it's a wicked thing. It's a vile thing to commit sin that you wish to cover up. But the sin when man is looking and you're not caring, That shows the hardness of your heart. There's a lot of folks, they'll sin. They say, I don't care what the preacher thinks. I don't care what, you know, my mom or daddy thinks. I don't care what somebody else thinks. I'm just going to sin and do what I want to do. You know, to sit there and have that attitude, you talk about rebellion. You talk about hardness of your heart. But you know, it's sad to say there are many Christians who sin openly before God. And they get this idea, I'll get away with it. I'm a Christian, Brother Tim, and I'll get away with it. I'm saved. You hear me this morning. If you're truly saved by the grace of God, you'll be convicted of that sin. But if you refuse to heed that conviction, if you sit there and don't listen to God and say, Lord, I want to repent of my sin, then the Bible says He'll chasten you in a mighty way. He'll whip you in a mighty way. And then if you still refuse to repent, if you still refuse to obey after God whips you, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, God will call you home. God will let you die a premature death because God's not going to put up with that rebellion. God's not going to tolerate that. You say, but Tim, I don't know about that. You ask Moses. Remember Moses in the Bible? The Bible says God killed Moses prematurely. You know why? Because Moses disobeyed the Lord. Do you really think this morning that God is going to let you off? If God had killed Moses prematurely because Moses disobeyed, if God killed Ananias and Sapphira because they disobeyed, then who do you think you are, amen? If you're lost this morning without Jesus Christ, how easy it's going to be for Him to condemn you at the judgment. You see, at that great white throne of God, what will you do when He mentions what you did in darkness of night when no eye was there? I believe, as Miss Selah sung that song this morning, I believe He'll begin to unfold the records of the past. And leaf after leaf, He'll read of the diary of your life that He kept of your existence. And by the way, God writes down in His book, God writes down every deed we do. God writes down every work we do. God writes down every thought you think. You're not going to be able to sit there and say, well, Lord, I didn't do that. No, God's going to go back and He's going to say, on this day, this is exactly what you did. On this day, this is how you talked. This is what you thought. On Sunday of this particular August, God's going to sit down and He's going to say, I saw you in church, and I saw whether you was listening or not. I saw whether you was paying attention or not, and I saw whether you listened to what the preacher was saying. And He'll read page after page, and your knees are knocking, your hair is standing on end, your blood is frozen in your veins, and then if you're lost, comes that awful final doom. I saw your sin. It needs no witnesses. I heard your oath. I heard your blasphemy. I read your thoughts. Depart from me. I never knew you. I wonder this morning, would that be the testimony of your life? While you still have time, while you're still in this room this morning, trust Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Brother Tim, I'm a young person. I've got plenty of time in my life. You know, this past summer, we've heard a lot of young people dying early. I've seen a young person down in Pedal this past summer, went to the coast and drowned in the waters. I hear so often of young people dying in car wrecks, running off the side of the road, hitting the tree. They thought life was a full life. They thought they had 60, 70 years of life, but you know, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We have no promise of another day on this earth. If you're going to trust Christ as Savior, I beg of you, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving, no one leaving.